from the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs. This is the Locked On Chiefs podcast.
Welcome back to another episode of Locked On Chiefs. I'm Seth Kaiser with The Athletic, and I am here with the, I'm not going to say perfect. Yes, I am. The perfect Ryan Tracy of RGR Football and Rogue Analytics. Ryan, what do you know?
I'm going to need you to speak with my wife for a little bit.
I'm preparing for my career as a hype man. And so
you're doing
well. Thank you. So my only thing is, you know, I pause while I look for words. And so eventually they're just going to flow just like, you know, like Hugh Jackman's character in The Greatest Showman. It's just going to come right out of me, and I will be calling you all kinds of wonderful things. So the draft approaches. You can't stop it. You can't hope to contain it. We were talking safeties a little bit last week, and since then I've delved into a little more film. I got three guys that I've kind of looked at that I'm really interested in, and you and I chatted a little bit, and I want to talk more about these guys. So the three guys that I've looked at: Nasir Adderley,
that too.
Juan Thornhill, and Darnell Savage. Okay. So I'm curious, without me prejudicing you, do you have a favorite of those three?
Well, in two specific areas, I have two different guys. I for one, am an advocate that it needs to be a true free safety. That's what this team needs in order to let the other playmakers do their job as best they can, specifically Matthew. And for me, I think Adderley would be the best free safety, that one role there. But I do put a caveat on that, because Savage, as long as one other guy you haven't looked at, and we could talk about him later, I think they fit that versatility role that we've seen them go after and seem to continue to go after in being able to play not only free, but also take some slot corner reps. And I think that's an interesting wrinkle as well.
Yeah, Savage is interesting that way. I think you recommended him to me when I started reviewing Thornhill snaps, and man, did I upset some people.
Oh, did you?
I tweeted it. Oh, yeah. I said, I'm just not seeing it with Thornhill. And I mean, I had a few people just jump on me. Apparently, there are people that are convinced because Thornhill played a lot of roles in the defense that he was on. Mm-hmm. And that was a justification that was given me. It's like, oh, well, you know, he played, you know, and just named various roles he played on the defense. And he was all over him. He was in the slot. He was at strong. He was at free. He was at various alignments at both of those places as well. I guess to me, you know, yeah, Dan Sorensen did that last year too for the Chiefs. That alone, the fact that you lined up everywhere, just that doesn't make you valuable. You better do it well.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that to me, Thornhill, he just didn't jump off the screen to me. And again, this is more feel than anything else. We never really know, let's be honest. But Savage, on the other hand, because you recommended him to me when I said, look, Thornhill and Adderley, I don't think it's even close. I'm an Adderley guy.
Well, and Thornhill, one other thing, though, is, yes, he did line up and slap, but I didn't think he performed terribly well there.
Right. I just don't see the quickness that you'd expect from a guy with his testing. And I know that's, you know, after I watch him and after I kind of form my own impressions, then I kind of read a few other things that people, and that's something people commented, like that explosion doesn't show up on tape, that acceleration. And it kind of reminds me of, you know, he had some incredible testing numbers, but it kind of reminds me of like a Chris Conley situation. Obviously, they're different sizes here. But where Conley, you know, when you look at his numbers, he should be incredibly explosive, but the man just can't accelerate.
Yeah. And it's funny because when you put their matrices back together, and I separate those two things, explosion meaning like the first three steps versus explosive range, 15 yards versus deep range, right? And right. Chris just takes a little time to get up to speed.
Yep. And I think you see that with Thornhill too. Mm-hmm. Now, once he's striding, the man can move, make no mistake. But you saw that. I saw that show up in the slot. I also saw that show up at the times where he was ranging deep. It just takes an extra second. Now, I will say with Thornhill, really smart player, clearly. Mm-hmm. Very, very, very smart. But anyway, so with Savage, so long road to a short thought as I looked at Savage. And man, that guy can move. Now, if you want to talk about the other end of the spectrum, a guy with incredibly quick feet and acceleration for days, Savage is your guy.
Mm-hmm.
And so here's the interesting thing with Savage. He wasn't asked to play as many roles.
Right.
As Thornhill. Like I saw him mostly in the slot and mostly, you know, in the box and that kind of stuff. And so I'm curious, what are your impressions of Savage overall then? You sent me to him, so I assume you like him.
Yeah, he's my number two in terms of a guy who can play free safety. I think he can play that nickel as well. And if they were going to go versatility, I think if that's what they're, you know, putting a priority on, I think he might be ahead of Adderley in that aspect. But like you said, he can roam back there. He's got the range and the speed to do it. And I feel like I know he's a little under threshold. Well, he's not under threshold. He is over 5'10", but he's 5'10 and three quarters, whereas Thornhill's a good 6'5" or whatever. So there's going to be people that are going to want that size. But it's interesting that you say that you thought Thornhill's film looked like he was smart back there. And I've heard through interview process that there's some question marks around that and ability to learn new defenses. So
really,
yeah. And I think that's probably an asterisk that's important.
That's an incredibly important asterisk because, again, when one of the selling points is a guy played multiple roles, the implication there is that he's a smart player. But, I mean, it could be worth noting. I mean, there could be, and I was thinking about this, the split second you see there, because I talked to a few people, they said that at the Senior Bowl, he looked more comfortable, like in a pure deep safety role, and he looked faster. Mm-hmm. Thornhill. And so one theory could be that the reason he looks a little slow is because he's thinking. And if it takes you a split second longer to register and to process things, that shows up for safeties and corners, especially for safeties, though. There's that split second where you're thinking, I mean, in a half second in the NFL, once a wide receiver's up to speed, I mean, that's 5 yards.
Yeah.
I mean, it's an incredible difference. And so that could be it. You know, in terms of comparing Savage and Adderley, I do think you're right on the idea of versatility, because Adderley, I don't know if I saw him really line up in the slot other than to cover a tight end, and that's when he was still way back. I don't know if I saw that more than once or twice.
Yeah, in the games I did not see it at all.
Right. And so, and I'll say one thing with, if we're talking like run support type guys, I know Thornhill was credited with fewer missed tackles than Savage or Adderley, but I think both of them offer a lot more in run support. At least in my opinion, more of moving the needle. Thornhill looks more like a guy to me who does what he needs to do to bring defenders down. Whereas Savage and Adderley, they had superior range that I saw bringing them across the field. And they also were a little more explosive moving downfield to stop runners before they even passed the line of scrimmage and sideline to sideline.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And it's interesting. I know you didn't look at him, but a lot of people are gonna throw Chauncey Gardner-Johnson at you too, because he does the same thing. He's played free and nickel corner. And I think you can do either. And from what I've heard around the league, teams are split that feel he's a free safety, or they're not even gonna look at him there and they're gonna put him at nickel. But
really,
I think he might be a second day guy. I think Savage is gonna be I think all of these guys are gonna be second day. What I meant to say is Gardner-Johnson's probably a third rounder, whereas Savage and Thornhill, like, I'm guessing, are twos. So I think you can get similar versatility around later, but he's definitely not the athlete with the same range.
Right. And here's the big thing when considering all of this is that Adderley, of all these guys, Adderley's the one that you're going to have to spend a first round pick on.
Yeah.
Based on everything I've heard. He seems to be pretty much universally the number one safety. So then you got to ask yourself, do you like him so much better that you're willing to spend a one where you could maybe get Thornhill or Savage or Johnson, Gardner-Johnson, however you say it, maybe you can get them in the second or the third.
Yeah.
And that's definitely something to take into account. Me, I like Adderley enough to where if they took him at 29 or even traded up a couple spots to grab him, I'd be very happy.
Yeah. I think I'd be comfortable with that too. I think you can plug him in, and I think you're not, as much as you see promise in Armani Watts, I don't think there's that question mark with that early. You know he can do the role that he's asked to do.
Absolutely. All right. Well, with that, man, see, look at this. Ryan, we're that good. We can kill 9 minutes talking Chiefs a couple weeks before the draft. We are it's unbelievable. This is why I called you perfect. All right, we're gonna take a quick break and we're gonna be right back with a little more Chiefs talk.
The Athletic Matrix Draft Guide from Rogue Analytics is available now, and we've got a special discount code for our listeners. At checkout, enter the code LOCKEDON to get your discount. Go to rogueapc.com, that's rogueapc.com, and get the Athletic Matrix Draft Guide for the 2019 NFL Draft. So we've got to talk about this next position coming up, but I want to remind everybody, I'll be live about 7 o'clock Central Arrowhead time on YouTube on the RGR football channel, doing a live Q&A tonight like I do every week. So if you haven't seen that yet, jump over on YouTube around 7 o'clock.
So the interesting thing is it's not just the safety that we need to take into account, especially at 29, because a lot of rumor going on now, and I need to get your opinion on too, guys. And I think you said, if I tracked you correctly, Akeem Butler is high on your list. Is he your number one wide receiver?
I don't know if I'd call him my number one wide receiver. I've only watched a few. Butler is the one that popped out to me the most.
Okay.
He's obviously got size, but you and me both know that doesn't mean a lot to me, but he uses it well, in my opinion, and how he fights for the ball and that kind of stuff. And he's agile for a big dude. So he can actually get separation on his routes. So it's not like a John Baldwin situation, right? Or a Kelvin Benjamin.
And you watched different games than I did, because I didn't see him separate for nothing.
Really?
Yeah, I saw him use his body very well, but like on comebacks, especially deep ends, no separation.
Yeah, those were not his better routes.
No. Well, of the four of them, right?
what I did like for him, I see a lot of yak ability, obviously. Mm-hmm. Big, strong receiver. And again, that separation ability, I saw a little bit of it. Obviously not as much as you see from like Debo or some of these smaller guys. Mm-hmm. I don't really know if he's the type of receiver you're going to get in an Andy Reid offense, but man, did he make some plays, and it's hard not to think about pairing him up with Mahomes.
Yeah, it'd be intriguing. I'll give you that, especially because I have seen him run out of the slot, and that versatility is a plus in my book. But the guy that keeps coming back to me, and folks, I've been telling you about Marquise Brown for quite a while, that I'm not too scared about the Liz Frank. He went and had his injury rechecked and came back with glowing reports, and now there's talk of him coming back into the first round. And several reports have tied him to the Chiefs. I don't know if you've looked at him or know his body type or anything, but have you any input on what you think of Marquise Brown?
I've watched just a little bit of him, and man, he's explosive. I mean, he is not a guy that, you know, when you talk about the ability to separate, that is not a concern I have with him. Mm-hmm. And so I really do like that. And it makes sense to maybe be more of a fit in Andy Reid's offense, because Reid does seem to generally go with the guys that are quick and explosive and can separate, like Hill and Watkins.
Yeah. And that's honestly what I'm hearing is that, and one other player we'll talk about in a minute, but I look at his play type and that separation ability, and I'm going with the idea that he is going to be able to recover from this lift, Frank. And I'm not terribly concerned about the 166. I think he will grow into something. It's related reportedly to Antonio Brown. And I think that's intriguing just because, you know, workouts experience, whatever. But given the situation that we don't have an answer on Ty Hill or what's going on with him, do you see him as somebody that, if they were to be without Hill, is a reasonable replacement to try to do some of the same things?
You know, it's so tough with Hill because Hill's such a unique player that, you know, even asking someone to do 85% of what Hill does is a tall hill to climb. I do see that ability to separate deep and all over the field. Really. Mm-hmm. I don't think he has Hill's ball skills, so he's not, in my opinion, quite the deep threat that Hill is. Mm-hmm. But to
especially
be fair,
tracking, right?
Yep. And to be fair, no one is. Mm-hmm. Hill is the best deep threat in the league, one of the best five receivers. So it's not about replacing Hill necessarily. I do think, though, if you've got a concern, Brown is a guy that looks like he can fill those shoes. I do worry about the build thing, and I understand that he can grow into it a little more. But I mean, that's one thing that I think gets overlooked with Hill at times, is that Hill is he is stocky.
Yeah.
He is not skinny at all. Although when you look at Hollywood Brown, he doesn't look that skinny to me either. And that I just don't, you know, the idea, like, Hill is not a guy that gets thrown around. And once you start getting under $170, you're running the risk of a guy that anytime anyone gets a hand on him, he's stopped in his tracks.
Yeah. And that is a concern, that people didn't try to press him much. From what I saw, it was pretty rare. And when they did, he blew by him. So right. It's that is a legitimate concern. It's probably my only concern about him. But I see him being able to do enough of what we want to see in the Hill role in the offense that I think he could fill in for him if there's a suspension or something like that well enough.
Right. And that's the thing, you know, again, you're not looking for a guy that can replace Hill, but there aren't a lot of guys that can even do 85% of what Hill does.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of what's been going on in the offense is predicated around having guys like that who can create separation, who can, you know, create yards after the catch. So I would not hate that pick at all. It would be interesting to me if they went offense, like you and I have talked about a little bit. I would prefer, if they're going to go offense early, to see if they can snag like Fant or Hawk or one of those like ridiculously talented tight ends, because mm-hmm. I think ultimately that might benefit the offense more than a good but not great receiver prospect.
See, and I disagree with you there, because I don't see either position to be one of value in the first round. They're well down my board of what I think using a first round is for. Mm-hmm. So while I understand that you get into the point that there's maybe only 20 or so first round grades on any draft for the Chiefs, there certainly is on my board. I don't think I'm going to break 20 this year. So mm-hmm. it comes down to, okay, if you can't move back, then you are going to have to take somebody that's high on your board at that point, whether he's, you know, truly lives up to 29 or whatever. But I think it's interesting that you bring up those tight ends, because I think Hawkins is the only one that goes in the first round. So they might have that dilemma at the choice.
I got to tell you, if Fant drops to 29, that would be tough for me, because I see him as a better receiving threat than most of the wide receivers in this draft, if not all of them.
So the drop rate doesn't bother you?
Not that much. Okay. I mean, it bothers me a little bit. You know, Kelsey's drop rate isn't amazing either. And for me, you know, if you are capable of making that many plays, it's okay that you miss them at a little higher level. And so, like, the problem with Demetrius Harris, well, among several, the drop rate was obviously absurdly high, but also he wasn't making a high enough number of big plays to make up for it. Whereas Kelsey, low key, if you go through, you know, Mahomes incompletions like I did, because I'm a crazy person, you find more than a couple Kelsey drops on there.
Yeah.
It just doesn't matter, because he makes so many good plays. And I think Fant might be a guy who can do that. Now, to be fair, there's an argument to be made with the depth in this tight end class that it's better to just wait. And, you know, what if you grab, you know, Irv Smith in the second or third round? I mean, are you losing that much? So I get that.
Or my guy Moreau. Yeah.
Moreau, who's a freak athlete in his own right. You know, mm-hmm. some of these guys are there are a few guys in this class that just explode on their routes. And so I could see that. But as far as Brown goes, there aren't a lot of directions the Chiefs could go in the first round that would genuinely upset.
Well, that's a good thing.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I have one that might, though. So we'll take our second break. We'll come back, folks. We're going to talk about the guy that's getting a lot of buzz for Kansas City right now.
We want to say thank you for all of your support through this entire season, and want to let you know we will be here all off season for you. This and every episode that we'll be bringing to you are going to be available every week, just like normal, all off season long. So thanks for taking the time. All of you new folks, thanks for leaving your iTunes reviews and everything else. We appreciate your time, and keep it locked on, Chiefs.
So buzz is the operative word. I don't know if any of this is anything to see through smoke. This could all just be, I mean, it's the lying season at this point. Believe it nothing is. You hear between today and the actual draft. So
absolutely.
But I'm going to put a big asterisk on that.
Uh-huh.
It's because of the value. And because I think there is a lack of first round talent at a number of positions. So I think you get a guy that, is at a position that is usually not very well prioritized at all for any team, in Garrett Bradbury, the center from, North Carolina State. Very heady player, plays excellently in zone. He is a perfect fit in terms of placing him in this read offense. But he's a center at 29 at the first round. Positional value. Can you get behind them doing that?
If he is an elite center, then I think it adds enough value to the offensive line to where I can get behind it. But I still wouldn't be thrilled about it, because, I mean, you have a team right now. You've got a guy, an Austin Ryder, who did a solid job last year, who's under contract for another 2 years. So to me, it just seems, when you've got areas that you could potentially improve by a wide margin, like receiver or tight end or edge rusher or interior lineman or corner or safety, or, you know, the list goes on. The idea of only improving by a certain amount at a position that's maybe less valuable, that's tough for me. Now, the counter argument to that is that when you've got Patrick Mahomes, You do everything you can to help them succeed. And if they think a center is the best way to do that, well, fair enough. Centers are, they've got a unique relationship with the quarterback. And, you know, Mahomes just lost a really good one. And so I get that. But I that would bother me. I mean, I wouldn't be like, you know, I wouldn't be jumping in front of a train. But, you know, if it came at me fast,
that, please.
I mean, I might not move if it came right at me. No, I'm kidding. I wouldn't be that upset, but I would not be thrilled for sure. Is that, I mean, you're more of a ground and pound kind of guy. Would you be okay with that?
That's the problem. I am a ground and pound guy. I want to see the run game more emphasized, but no, I don't think I am as good as he is. And I mean, he is that good. I've watched 5 games of his now, mm-hmm. and man, his footwork alone in the way that he gets in space, but being able to make the reach blocks, I love the way he plays. Right. And he seems very intelligent, and being able to run that offense is key for this particular read offense.
Right.
I just positionally can't stomach the value there.
Right.
If it's when you have needs at 2 of the top 4 positions being quarterback, left tackle, edge rusher, and corner, and you go center when there's available players. I mean, unless you just have grades that are, you know, nothing to the 40s and that's right. the guy. I'd rather see him trade back than take a center at 29.
And I can definitely get on board with that kind of thinking too. I mean, I just, you know, the corner issue in particular, this is a tough draft. I mean, man, it sure would be nice if this was a draft that was just dripping with great corners. But like you and I have talked about, I mean, you know, the one that seems to be the most universally liked by both Chiefs fans and pundits is Byron Murphy. And even he is everyone has said he is a noticeable notch below, like, say, Ward or, you know, whoever you had last year. And it's not like, it's not just like a notch, like, oh, he might go 10 places later. It's like none of the corners that people are talking about as being the first one taken, whether it's Williams or Murphy or Baker, those are the 3 names I hear the most.
Mm-hmm.
None of them are like, oh, yeah, he's for sure the first one. And
and none of them should be in the top half of the draft. That's the interesting thing for me. Right. We're talking about Murphy, who plays like, performs like, if, at least in terms of athleticism, exactly like Marcus Peters. And he was what, 22nd overall?
Right.
And he might be the first corner off the board.
Right. And that's an issue because Peter made up for a lack of great athleticism by being an exceptional ball hawk. Now Murphy's
better.
Huh?
Murphy's better.
Oh, like in coverage. Right. Snap by snap.
Yeah, coverage. In terms of PBUs and interceptions per target.
Really?
Murphy's better. Yes.
I would be amazed if that translated to the pros to being better than what Peters did in Kansas City, considering Peters was like a...
Agreed.
But, you know, some of that's just luck, too. And so...
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
And so, I mean, if you can get a guy with Peters' level of skill, they're great. But it's tough. And so, yeah, the whole thing... I totally agree with you about value. My only thing is if they think this is an elite center and everyone else they've got there is like, ugh, you know, we don't really like this guy that much in this spot, then fine, pull the trigger because I'll take an elite center over a meh corner any day of the week.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, if he's the one guy you have left on your board that's a first round grade, according to your scouts and your system.
Yep.
Then go for it.
Yeah, do what you got to do. If you can't trade, I personally would love for them to wait to the night of the draft and maybe hopefully the Cardinals panic or something. Just call them up and be like, hey, you know, this first rounder we got, why don't you just go ahead and give us Patrick Peterson and we'll call it a day.
Yeah, we'll give you David Putney. Well, with that scenario in the books, folks, thanks for listening today. We're going to be back tomorrow and I'm going to bring up a guy. Oh, maybe not tomorrow because I want you in on this conversation, Seth. So,
okay.
We'll talk about another safety in a very similar conversation to today that people are going to have an interesting take on compared to old Sorensen. So we'll be back later in the week with that. Check out the Athletic Matrix over at Rogue APC. Make sure you're reading all of Seth's work at The Athletic. And you got a discount going right now?
Probably. They usually do.
Just hit the site. You'll get a discount.
Yeah, there's usually something there.
And thanks. We appreciate all you guys have been doing in terms of your reviews and everything else. It's very appreciated. And we're going to keep grinding through this, through the draft and beyond. Listen 5 days a week, and we will be here for you. Thanks for listening today. We'll talk to you later. Subscribe to the show on iTunes or Google Play. Follow the show on Twitter at Locked On Chiefs. Check out my work at RGR Football on YouTube, Chris's work on LockedOnChiefs.com, and all of Seth's film analysis at TheAthletic.com. Thanks for listening.